would you stand for the reading of the gospel? We're reading Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where's the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me, so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chest and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us. We thank you for, Lord, for preparing our hearts to hear the words that you have for us, and we pray that they would sink deep within us, Lord, into our joints and marrow, and into those tiny places within our souls, that we might see the fruit of change spring up from those places, that we might be transformed and made in your image to be more like you. This we ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. How many high school students do we have in here? How many high school students? I can tell that you're high school students because you're barely raising your hands. Nobody wants to sit, right? It's not like you were when you were in elementary school. It's like, me, 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 me. No, nothing like that, right? I remember being in high school, and I remember that there was one thing that I was looking for more than anything. It's the one thing that everybody in high school is looking for more than anything. A date. That was my epic search in high school. Grades weren't a problem. They came pretty easy for me. I'd always been a good student, but dates, man. That was tough. Even with more hair, that was tough. But it was always, there was always that moment when I actually asked somebody out and they said yes. There were two things that happened. One, I was shocked. And two, I was elated. Somebody actually said yes. This is amazing. You know. And I walk around for days muttering to myself, this is amazing. Now what am I going to wear? You know, because guys do that too. Girls, you're not the only ones that worry about that. They may not say so, but guys worry about that too. But it's interesting. What I thought I was looking for, what I thought I wanted was a date. I thought that having a date would fix a lot of things. You know, because I could say, hey, I went out with so-and-so last week. Or, hey, I took so-and-so to see this and that sort of thing. I didn't realize it at the time, but you know, when you're looking for a date, what you're really looking for is acceptance. You want to know that somebody accepts you. Somebody's willing to take you at face value. Somebody's willing to see you for who you are and accept you for who you are. So when it comes to dating, I didn't get that at the time. It was much, much later that I figured that out. I was already married, and because I'm a slow learner. But that's what you're looking for. You're wanting acceptance. It's interesting to me when we look at this passage and we look at what the wise men were looking for. They were looking for something else. It wasn't acceptance that they were looking for. They were looking for a king. They knew him as Messias. That's the Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word for one who is anointed. It's the same word that we use when we say Christ. You know, we've talked about this before where, you know, the word Jesus Christ, it's not a name. Jesus is not his first name and Christ his last name. But Jesus is his name and Christ is his title. Well, Messiah is the Hebrew version of that title. It means the anointed one of God. It's the word that was used for Israelite kings when they anointed Saul as the first Israelite king. That anointing made him Messiah, the one anointed by God to do the work of the king. And so when these men were coming to look for a king, that's what they were looking for, Messiah. Now that kind of sounds strange to us in a way, because why are these men from the east who were following some star that they found in the sky, why are they looking for the Jewish Messiah? Well, it's likely that these magi were actually from Babylon or somewhere in that region. You see, when the Jews were carried off into captivity, one of the things that happened was that they brought their culture. We always think of it as the Jews going and either assimilating into Babylonian culture or returning and keeping their culture. But the truth is, there were some Jews that didn't return after the exile. They stayed in Babylon and the regions around Babylon. And those Jews kept their culture with them. Well, it's likely that these magi had been introduced to this culture. It's likely that they had been introduced to some of the writings that the Jews wrote while they were in exile. Some of the prophets that wrote in exile and the things that they wrote would have been common to them. They would have had the opportunity to have read those things. It's also likely that these men, we call them magi. A lot of times we think of them as kings. We sang the song earlier, We Three Kings. But the truth is that magi weren't kings, but they were servants of kings. That these men that came as servants of a king, looking for a king. The only other place that we see this word magi or magoi in any other biblical literature is when we see it in the book of Daniel in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And the word magoi is used to describe those people who interpret dreams for the king. And so these were men, some believe who were astrologers, some who believe were interpreters of dreams, some believe were just men of wisdom and men of study. But the thing that they found in their study led them to look for this Messiah, this Jewish child to be born. And as they were looking, they found a star in the sky. And we don't know an enormous amount about this star. What we do know about it was that it was in the sky and it gave them a focal point, a direction, a place to go. It was kind of like, you know, the old signs. You remember, and if you've ever seen black and white movies where they've got the sign that's got the little arrow that comes underneath and it says, "Eat at Joe's," and, you know, you got the little arrow pointing at Joe's, you know. It was almost as if the star in the sky was pointing down, going, "Messiah, here," you know. As they travel, as they go, they eventually find the child. And of course, we read the scripture, we know the story. They find the child, they bring the gifts, frankincense, gold, myrrh. And then they leave and they go a different way because as men who interpret dreams, they themselves are given a dream. A dream that says, don't go back to Herod. These men are used to following the instructions that they get in dreams. So as they hear this dream and God warns them in a dream, they leave and they go another way. My question is this, and it's a very simple question. What are we looking for? What are we looking for? You know, these three men, they were looking for Messiah. They were looking for the King of Kings. They were looking for the one whom Isaiah said would be wonderful, Counselor, the one who reconciles us to God. That's what they came to see. The question is, what are we looking for? It's interesting to me to note that according to one author, that all of us who are health conscious, you know, he believes that the reason we're health conscious is we're trying to find some semblance of immortality. For those people who are looking for money, psychologists would probably say that they're looking for security. For those people who are looking for love in all the wrong places, as I was as a high school student, what we're really looking for is acceptance. We're really looking to know that other people love us, care about us, and are willing to take us face value. But what you're looking for tells you something about yourself. What you're looking for tells you something about what's important to you in life. What you're looking for tells you something about you as a person and how you live, how you want to live, how you're going to live. I remember a while back there was one of my favorite movies is a movie called Sneakers. It has Robert Redford in it. Some of you may have seen it. It's back in the 80s, 90s, something. I don't know. It's been a long time. But these guys were masters at being able to study people and understand all the aspects of their life. And one of the things that they did was they dug through this guy's trash. Sounds weird. But they dug through this guy's trash to create a psychological profile of this guy. And they were able to look at this guy's trash and be able to tell by the way that he tore up his trash, by the kinds of things that he ate, that this was a single man, that this was a very fastidious person, and that this guy had a particular type when it came to dating. Now we'll get into the movie, but they were able to create a psychological profile just from the guy's trash. If we were to go through the things in your life that are important to you this morning, if we were going through my trash, your trash, if we were going through your rooms in your house, we went through your library and looked at your books, if we took your mail out of your mailbox and read who it was from, what would it tell us about us? What could we learn about ourselves from those things? I think we'll find that it's very easy to figure out what's most important to you. It's very easy to figure out what matters in your life and who matters in your life. So when it comes to us figuring out what we want, what we really, really want, most psychologists will tell you that it boils down to two things. We're looking for peace within and purpose without. Within ourselves, we want to know what it is to be at peace with ourselves. We want to be able to put to rest the things that are in the past and that plague us from our past and the difficulties that we've had and the things that have hurt us. We want to be able to put those things to rest. And we want to be able to look to the future and not be worried. We want to be able to look to the future and know that things are going to be taken care of. Know that the people that are important to us are going to be taken care of. Know that things are being set up in the here and now to make the future a better future for us and for those that are close to us. And we want to be able to live in the now in a way that's comfortable for most of us. That peace within that we're looking for is we want to know that we're reconciled within ourselves to God and to everyone else. Purpose without is the idea that we as people are human beings, but we're also human doings. We also define ourselves by the things that we do and how we do them and who we do them with. And most of the time, if you walk up to a man and you say, hello, how do you do, introduce yourself, one of the questions that you're going to ask very early on is, what do you do? I'm a pilot. I work at a bank. I'm a minister. We define ourselves by these things that we do and how we do them. We live with the idea that we need purpose and need to be able to live into whatever that purpose is. In the Christian vernacular, we call it calling. What is your calling? What has God called you to do? It's the purpose for your being. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14, and he's talking about these ideas of all of us having a place, all of us having something that we do in the body of Christ, all of us having something that we do within the church, all of us living into something that we've been called to do. So each and every one of us is looking for peace within and purpose without. The truth of the matter is, those two things can only be fulfilled in one place. And it's the same place, the same person that the Magi were looking for. We only find true peace within when we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. When we seek and find Jesus, and we step onto that road, that path of following him, and we step into that life of living after him and doing the things that he did and trying to do them the way that he did them, and we accept him as the one who leads us into that, then we have accepted the opportunity for peace within. Because it only comes from him. He said this to the disciples, my peace I give to you, not the peace that the world gives, but only the peace that I can give to you. And I think what Jesus means by that, what he meant by that, is that the peace that he comes to offer is something that transcends. It's something that looks back to the past and says, you're forgiven. That's all reconciled. You're forgiven. You and God, you're back simpatico. You're on the same page. It's a peace that looks to the future and says, it doesn't matter what's going to happen because I'm going to walk with you. You're following me, so whatever's going to happen to you has already happened to me because you're walking on the same trail that I'm walking on. And it looks in the moment and it says, whatever you're dealing with right now, I've already dealt with it and I'm coming back to help you deal with it. We're on the same path. We're on the same road. And when it comes to purpose, of course, we've already talked about that. He is the one that gives us purpose. He is the one that gives us reason. He is the one that gives us direction. All of the things that the Magi were looking for and found in the child in the child in Bethlehem are the things that we look for and we find when we look for the child in Bethlehem that also grew up to be the man that preached the gospel and lived the gospel, that also was the man that died for us to reconcile us to God, who rose from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection, so that we too could rise one day as well. What are you really looking for? That's the question. It's the question that I ask you. It's the question that I ask myself. It may be the most important question that you ask. The answer will start in the same place that it did for the three Magi. The answer starts with the Messiah. Father God, we thank you for today and for the things that you have to say to us. And Father, I pray that the words that you speak to us today, Lord, that they would help us to see you better. They would help us to refine what we're looking for out of this life, both within ourselves and within others, Lord, and that we would see in you the answer to those questions. We would see in you the peace within that we seek and the purpose without that we live by. Father, guide us as only you can through the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Spirit. Amen.